The petitioner requested to continue that item till our next meeting. They did have a public meeting with the Neighborhood Association on Sunday, I believe it was, and they wanted to have the opportunity to have a follow-up meeting and provide some additional information to staff as well. So those are some of the reasons they requested to continue that item to the next meeting. But if there aren't any questions about the other items that are continued, I'll go ahead and go into the regular business. We've got three items on regular business. The first item is a special use approval request for 2400 Bull Street. Just to alert the board, this is a new process for the board. This is not a process you've considered before. Prior to the new zoning ordinance being adopted, special uses were going before the Zoning Board of Appeals. We learned in the NUZO process that that should be going through the Planning Commission to the City Council, as it is essentially a zoning action. So based on that, we created a new process that special uses would come before this body and then be forwarded to the mayor and aldermen. And just keep in mind that special uses, when approved, are a permit process, meaning that the city, if they approve a special use, will grant a permit to that petitioner. That way, the permit can be addressed if there are issues associated with the use. But in terms of this particular one, the petitioner is requesting special uses for a number of uses that are found in Article 5, the principal use table. The uses that they're requesting are microbrewery, wine specialty shop, bar or tavern, retail consumption dealer, craft distillery, and winery, meadery, cidery, which is a use in the ordinance as well. And I'll be pretty brief with this for the pre-meeting, but I do want to show you at least where the property is located. I should mention also that the property is currently under renovation. They do have an approved certificate of appropriateness that they're working under to renovate the building, both the exterior and the interior build out. That property at 2400 Bull Street is a former grocery store. So essentially it was a big box. It's been there since about the 1980s. And the petitioner is in the process of dividing it internally to create several smaller retail spaces or commercial spaces. So as a part of that, they're requesting this special use because they suspect that at least some of their potential users would be in some of these categories. This is just a picture of the property located, as I mentioned, at 2400 Bull Street. Mr. Chairman, I'll answer any questions if there are any at this time.
Any questions for Mr. Latson?
I have a question. I don't see anything but the agenda on my screen.
I'm here.
Oh, okay. We're gonna try and switch this over. How about now, Ms. Jarrett?
Still no luck.
Is anybody seeing a picture of the building on their screen?
I'm not.
I do not.
I am not.
Okay. Well, let us work this glitch out for the regular meeting because we're seem to be showing it, but it's not showing to you all, but we'll get that figured out. But let me try this.
Changed. There we go.
There you go.
Okay, we're good to go now. So some of you will remember this building as it's been Chew's and David's Supermarket and Save-A-Lot over the years. But as I mentioned, it's in a process now of being renovated.
Pedestrian access is a real problem on that corridor.
On the Bull Street corridor?
Yes, between Victory and 37th Street, there are no crosswalks at all.
Yeah, because you do have sidewalk on both sides of the street, and that might be something to address with the city of Savannah as it relates to pedestrian access, as we're
seeing something I've been trying to address
on that section of Bull Street.
Thank you.
Anything further, Mr. Lotson? If not, Mr. Lotson, you may continue.
All right, Mr. Chairman. The next item on regular business is an amended general development plan for 703 Louisville Road. Some of you will remember this. It came before this body as a zoning action attached to a development plan for the redevelopment of property at this location. The existing plan is not changing in terms of the building exterior. What the petitioner is proposing is that within the previously approved plan, there was a certain unit mix of bedrooms and overall unit count as well. So they're proposing to amend that. And I want to show you just probably the easiest thing here within the staff report is a chart that we did just to show the approved unit mix includes a total of 255 units. What the petitioner is sort of re-engineered, I guess, the interior spaces of the building and wants to essentially eliminate the three bedroom units and focus more on studio one and two bedroom units. So with that, they revised their total unit count to 290 units and their total parking spaces that they were providing were 357. And under the proposed revisions, they'd be providing 370 spaces. So by eliminating the three bedroom units and increasing the number of one and two bedroom units, as well as studios, they do have more units. This amendment, if it's approved, would not change any of the conditions that were previously approved by council. It would not change the height or scale of the building or any of the other exterior features that were already approved. So it would only impact the unit mix and the total number of units, as well as the total number of off-street parking spaces.
Questions of Mr. Lassen?
I have a question. Do we have a clear idea of where the new parking spaces are coming from?
The original plan was redesigned in terms of the interior, where columns are, and I probably have to let the architect get into some of those details because that's above my head, frankly. But they were able to create more spaces by redesigning some of the interior structure of the building.
Thank you.
Any further questions, Mr.
Lotson? Mr. Lotson, this is Linda Southers. That's 80 parking, additional parking spaces. That's a good bit of space.
I agree, but I think it's a benefit as well, just because they will have some surplus over the required parking for guests, et cetera, because there's currently no on-street parking, of course, on Louisville Road. There is a plan in place to improve Louisville Road that would include on-street parking spaces, but that's not a part of today's consideration. So I think the more the merrier as far as it is additional parking spaces go.
Have you seen a plan of the parking layout? Are they reducing the size of the parking spaces for compact cars?
No, they're not permitted to reduce the size of the parking spaces. The city does have a minimum requirement as it relates to the dimensions of a parking space. They are permitted to have some compact parking.
Right.
But they will have to meet all the minimum standards for parking space size.
All right, thank you.
Any further questions of Mr. Lotson? Mr. Lotson, you may continue.
All right, Mr. Chairman, the last item on regular business is a subdivision of land at 760 Old River Road. This is a proposed final plat for a major subdivision. It's on the east side of Old River Road. It's approximately 3,700 feet north of John Carter Road. It's in a light industrial zoning classification. The petitioner is proposing to subdivide about 630 acres of land to create a public road right-of-way and three additional parcels to establish an industrial development. The individual parcels to be developed as industrial building site will be established at a later date with the future subdivision of the parent parcel. I should think at this time yield to Mr. Smith if he has any comments. I know there was some conversation prior to the pre-meeting starting about this. Happy to let him comment if you'd like to at this time.
Yes, I sent Marcus and some of it. Did you get the letter? If you can hear me.
I can hear you now, Mr. Smith.
Okay. I've sent you a letter in talking with my engineering department and John Hart. I've sent you a letter, and the county has two major issues. You know, we're fine with the development itself. I mean, as you recall, a portion of the funds to help this were county SPLOST funds, and it was to help acquire and build the industrial park. But there are two things that the counties, you know, this is still the city of Savannah incorporate, you know, annex that area for water and sewer, you know, some couple of years back, but it's surrounded by unincorporated Chatham County. That includes all the water that drains from this industrial park will drain into unincorporated Chatham, and the road itself is unincorporated Chatham. So I've given you the letter, but basically we, the county, the only way we can see to approve this is that the county has to have, give permission to the developer on Old River Road as far as transportation changes, how it's going to impact flow of traffic, and we will have to give permission as it relates to drainage leaving this industrial park, as it is going to impact, you know, unincorporated Chatham. I do want to read this one line to you, one sentence. It says, in the letter, so, improperly designed stormwater system could adversely affect the contiguous parcels. This approval process would allow the county to review the stormwater discharge potential on contiguous property and would reduce the chance of flooding or improper discharge that would adversely affect the county's stormwater system. As to the road itself, the county would ask as part of MPC's approval process that the project developer and subsequent pad owner developers be required to obtain permission in Chatham County Engineering pertaining to issues that may affect the road or other transportation in the unincorporated area. This, you know, we've seen in other areas there have been some small developments, not necessarily industrial, where this has occurred.
Metropolitan Planning Commission will now come to order. We will pause for our invocation and proceed immediately into the Pledge of Allegiance. Our Father, thank you for everyone present today. Each mind and heart that fills this meeting, we thank you. Our prayer today is that your will be done. Steer our intentions to align with your will. We pray for this country. We pray for our leaders. We pray for the well-being of our fellow countrymen. This we pray. Amen. Now to our Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. The Metropolitan Planning Commission is holding a virtual meeting in an effort to be compliant with local and state regulations regarding social distancing and to maintain the health and safety of all involved in these public hearings. For staff, petitioners, and members of the public who are participating, our procedures will be as follows. The agenda is broken down into several parts. First, notices, proclamations, and acknowledgments. Next, the consent agenda, which consists of items for which the applicant is in agreement with staff, with the staff recommendation, and there are no known objections. This will be followed by regular business, old business, and finally, adjournment. For each agenda item on regular business, the staff will make a presentation. The staff presentation will be followed by a presentation by the petitioner, should they elect to do so. The petitioner will be allotted a time frame of 10 to 30 minutes. The board may then ask questions of the petitioner or staff for clarification. Afterwards, the floor will be open for public comment. If you wish to comment on the item that the board is considering at the time, please use the raise your hand feature on your screen. Do not use a feature until the item you want to comment on is being considered. At the appropriate time, you will be recognized and staff will unmute your microphone. At the end of your allotted time, as determined by myself, the chair, your microphone will be muted. And I will then recognize the next speaker. Total public comment time will be the equivalent of the petitioner's presentation time. Therefore, it is important that you use the raise your hand feature during the hearing on that item. You want to speak on that item on the petition. Once the floor is closed for public comment on a petition, no additional public speakers will be allowed. If you're not certain whether you wish to speak or not, still use the raise your hand feature and you will have an option to decline when your name is called. Public comment, the petitioner will have an opportunity for rebuttal, and then additionally questions by the board. Finally, the board will take action. First item on our agenda is the approval of the agenda. Chair will entertain a motion.
Motion to approve the agenda by Travis Coles.
Seconded by Linda Southers.
Moved by Mr. Coles and Ms. Southers. Any discussion? Any unreadiness? I'm ready to take the vote. Mr. Coles, how do you vote?
In favor.
Mr. Wywoody? Mr. Wywoody?
In favor.
Ms. Southers?
In favor.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Ms. Jarrett?
Yes.
Parker?
Yes.
Ms. Milton?
Yes.
Noah? Noah?
Yes.
Chair votes in the affirmative as well. Motion carries. Notices, proclamations, and acknowledgments. July 21st, 2020, our regular meeting of the MPC, 1:30 p.m. We will have this at the GoTo webinar and also the hybrid format that we have been introducing, where some of us will be able to attend at the MPC building itself. Next, development plans have been submitted for review. There are several items that have been requested to be removed from the final agenda. Item 4, rezoning map amendment, Diamond Causeway and Ferguson Avenue.
Motion 5, to approve.
Sorry. Number 5, special exception request. And number 6, subdivision at 343 Burkhalter Road. The chair will entertain a motion on all 3.
Second, Coles.
Promptly moved by Ms. Milton and second by Mr. Coles. Any discussion? Any unreadiness? I'm prepared to take the vote. Mr. Coles, how do you vote?
In favor.
By Woody?
Yes.
Ms. Southers?
In favor.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Ms. Jarrett?
Yes.
Ms. Parker?
Yes.
Milton?
Yes.
Mr. Noah?
Yes.
Chair votes in favor. Motion carries. There are no items to be withdrawn. Now, consent agenda is item 7, approval of the June 9th, 2020 briefing and regular minute meetings. Meeting minutes. Chair will entertain a motion.
Move to approve, Karen Jarrett.
Second, Coles.
Promptly moved by Ms. Jarrett and second by Mr. Coles. Any discussion? Any unreadiness? Chair to take the vote. Mr. Coles, how do you vote?
In favor.
Mr. Wildwoody?
Yay.
Ms. Southers?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yeah.
Jarrett?
Yes.
Parker?
Yes.
Ms. Milton?
Yes.
Mr. Noah?
Yes.
Chair votes in favor, motion carries. There being no old business, we're moving to our regular business. Item number 8, special use approval request, 2400 Bull Street. Mr. Lotson?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The first item on regular business is a special use approval request for 2400 Bull Street. And I just wanted to reiterate for the board that this is a new process for the board and the public. This is a new process before the MPC. Prior to NUZO, special uses were reviewed by the Zoning Board of Appeals, but we found in the NUZO process that those items should be going before the Planning Commission for a recommendation to City Council that we're using at this time. The petitioner for the property at 2400 Bull Street is requesting special uses pursuant to Section 3.10 of the new zoning ordinance and Article 5, principal uses. And those uses that are being requested include microbrewery, wine specialty shop, bar tavern, retail consumption dealer, craft distillery, and winery, meadery, cidery. The subject property, which is located at 2400 Bull Street, is an existing commercial building. It's approximately 17,000 square feet in size, and since 1980 had operated as a grocery store. It's been vacant for some time. The petitioner is in the process of renovating the building, and there is an existing certificate of appropriateness that has been approved for that renovation. And I'll share just a bit of what was submitted related to that. This is a rendering of the proposed improvements of the subject property. As I mentioned, as this property is under renovation, the petitioner believes that at least some of their potential tenants will have the need for the uses that I identified earlier. Based on that, they're requesting approval of a special use permit. That permit process does go with the property, and should the city provide or approval for this use and issue a permit to the user, those uses that I identified would be permitted at this location. I should also mention that the permit will fall under the enforcement powers of the city of Savannah and their ability to take away that permit should there be issues associated with the use. I do want to step through just briefly some of the provisions regarding special use in the zoning ordinance. The special uses within each zoning district are uses that would not generally
Lotson, did we lose you?
I'm sorry, I think I got muted there for a second. But I'm just in discussion of the general provisions of the zoning ordinance. The special uses within each district are uses that would not be appropriate generally without restrictions, but which, if controlled as to number, area, and location, may be appropriate. So that's the reason that they are coming before a board. A special use permit shall be required for all special uses. as set forth in the principal use table of the zoning ordinance, and specific use standards may be applied to any approved special use. Any use or activity on the property not permitted within the district or specifically outlined by the special use is not a use that would be allowed on that property. I do want to give you a few more views of the general area of the property at 2400 Bull Street. The area between really Victory Drive and Anderson along Bull Street is primarily commercial in nature, non-residential. However, along all the east-west streets, it is quite residential in nature, and I'm going to talk about that a little bit more toward the end of this presentation. But this is a view along 40th Street toward Bull. So the subject property is on the left. The parking lot associated with that use is on the right. And as this next exhibit loads, I do want to step through the criteria for special use permits. There is within the zoning ordinance a number of criteria that staff considers as it relates to a recommendation and that the board is to consider as to any approval of a special use and any conditions that might be applied as well. This is another view of the property from West 40th Street toward Drayton. And this is the existing structure as it exists today. As to the criteria, when reviewing a special use permit request, the review authority shall consider a number of criteria, which I'm going to quickly go through. The first is whether the special use is consistent with the intent, goals, strategies, policies, guiding principles, and programs of the comprehensive plan. And staff's review of that criteria, the subject property is in a traditional commercial zoning classification, which is a mixed use classification throughout the streetcar neighborhood, which this property is located in. We believe the requested uses are consistent with these designations at this location on an arterial roadway within a mixed use neighborhood. The next criteria is whether specific use standards for the special use, if any, can be achieved, and there are no applicable use standards for this proposed use. Whether the use is detrimental to the public interest, health, safety, welfare, function, and appearance of the adjacent uses or general vicinity by reason of either the number, area, location, height, orientation, intensity of things such as traffic, noise, odor, hours of operation, and relation to the neighborhood or other adjacent uses. And this was one of the criteria that we spent a lot of time considering, because as I mentioned, although Bull Street is an arterial roadway, all the east-west streets are quite residential in nature. And the types of uses that are being proposed are typically those that could, if not managed correctly, cause some of these issues that are outlined in that criteria, especially as it relates to noise and hours of operation and potentially traffic. So we'll address that shortly here in the recommendation. The next criteria is whether the subject property is adequate in shape and size to accommodate the use. The shape and size of the property and structure are adequate to accommodate the proposed uses. And as I mentioned, the property does have an existing off-street parking lot. The next criteria is whether adequate public facilities are available. This is an existing commercial building. Adequate public facilities are available and present at the site. The next criteria is whether the special use will result in the destruction, loss, or damage of any feature deemed to be of natural, cultural, or historic importance. And staff's comment on that is that there will be no loss of any historic importance based on the existing situation on this property. With that, the special use provisions of the ordinance are designed to allow reviewing authorities to consider the establishment of uses in zoning districts where the use may be appropriate, but should not necessarily be allowed by right. The review criteria that we just went through are for considering the special use. In review of the standards, it appears that the subject property and proposed uses in large part meet those requirements. The Bull Street frontage between Victory and Anderson is developed primarily with non-residential uses. But as I mentioned, there are residential uses within the greater neighborhood. Subsection C of the review criteria considers, among other impacts, noise, traffic, and hours of operation. Based on the proposed uses, these factors could certainly become an issue for nearby residential properties. Based on these findings, staff finds that the property and proposed uses meet many of the criteria for special use approval. However, additional conditions may be necessary to minimize the impacts on residents. We are recommending approval, but we're doing so with the following conditions. And I should mention that these conditions and any other conditions the board wishes to make could be applied to the recommendation that's going forward to City Council. But our conditions are that any outdoor eating or drinking area operate only Sunday through Thursday, 8 a.m. to 10 p.m., and Friday and Saturday, 8 a.m. to midnight, and that the existing parking lot north of 40th Street, and I've identified the PIN numbers for that parking lot, be maintained as parking for the property at 2400 Bull Street, and that if they were to become unavailable through the development of that property, then the required number of off-street spaces for the uses at 2400 Bull Street be otherwise provided. And with that, that is our recommendation from staff. I'll be happy to answer any questions.
Questions of Mr. Lotson?
Karen Jarrett, I have a question.
Hey, Ms. Jarrett.
I was just wondering if you'd heard for anything from the residents. I know that there's a house immediately adjacent to the location that they have shown on their plan for an outdoor eating or drinking area.
Yes, ma'am. I did hear from two residents along East 40th Street that generally were, I think it's fair to say, and they may be on the line today, but I think it's fair to say that they were generally opposed to the uses. And there was a lot of discussion about some of the other establishments in the neighborhood that have caused nuisance over the years.
Okay, thank you.
Yes, ma'am.
Any further questions of Mr. Lotson? Is the petitioner present?
Well, I.
If you would please state your name for the record.
Yes, sir. Josh Yellen here today on behalf of the owners and operators of 2400 Bull Street, which, as many of you know, is the former Save-A-Lot building on Bull and 40th, which is located in the Thomas Square Mid-City now streetcar district. Also on the line is Ms. Beth Vantosh, who is one of the principals with the company developing the site and broker for the leasing of the space. We would like to thank Mr. Lotson and MPC staff for their recommendation of approval for this special use application. And so I'm sure many of you are familiar with this building, former Save-A-Lot grocery store. And if you've driven up and down Bull Street recently, you've definitely seen that Beth and her team have been hard at work retrofitting and renovating this formerly large, boxy, unsightly, unpedestrian-friendly building. And as Mr. Lotson showed you in the agenda packet, there is a COA for the improvements in effect for the site. So this building can be divided up and transformed into a neighbor-oriented or neighborhood-oriented development. No longer a big box location, but a space for small local tenants with an activated street front along Bull Street. And as a nearby resident to this, I personally am very excited for this development to occur. As Mr. Lotson also mentioned before you, this is the first special use application that has come before you for alcohol-related uses, whereas previously we went before ZBA for all alcohol-related uses in the Mid-City District. We are now coming before you at the MPC. And so our request today is whether or not this location, whether or not 2400 Bull Street, a former grocery store, which should be mentioned, also had its own alcohol-related license, is an appropriate location for now smaller, more neighborhood-oriented alcohol-related uses. And as MPC staff noted in the staff report, it is in fact an appropriate location. Some of you, I'm sure, are asking or thinking, what are the tenants going to be? Why have we requested such a broad range of alcohol-related uses? And we are kind of in this chicken and egg situation, both related to coronavirus and also related to the general state of commercial leasing and retail sector in the country, that tenants are approaching the developers, but before they sign leases, they need assurance that they can operate in this location. And so we are here with a broad request for distillery, for microbrewery, for restaurants, for specialty wine shops, and for meadery, cidery locations. There will be some mix that goes into this building, but the tenant makeup is not yet decided. We need to give those tenants the assurance and satisfaction that this lease, that the lease that they enter into, will be valid. And it should be mentioned, since this is the first special use application before you, that this is not the end of the line in terms of this application. It will go to City Council for approval. And even after that, every single individual tenant that requests an alcohol license will have to have a hearing before City of Savannah City Council. At that hearing, it's a requirement that there be a background check, that they provide their security plan, that they pass all the requisite requirements for that location. And so everyone will be thoroughly vetted and approved at numerous times at this location. And so the idea behind this project is that if you've been to Croc Street Market in Atlanta, if you've been to the Ferry Building in San Francisco or Grand Central Market, Los Angeles, it is a food-oriented public market space with small local individual tenants, no longer the big box store that was once there. And as our society and as commerce moves to a more food-centric arena, this is the appropriate use for this site, and we believe it will be very successful in this location. And so we do want to thank once again, Mr. Lotson for his recommendation of approval, and we are happy to answer any questions that you may have and do respectfully request that you approve of this application for special use approval.
Questions of Mr. Yellen. Any questions of Mr. Yellen?
This is Linda Southers. Are you in agreement with the conditions that staff has presented?
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you.
Any further questions of Mr. Yellen?
I have a question.
Ms. Milton.
Are you talking that all of these businesses are going to be within walls? Is that correct? They were talking about the parking lot, and I'm just concerned, are they going to be using the outside parking area for entertainment as well? I know that downtown started using parking spaces so that social distance. I'm just wondering, that a part of your plan, or have they reviewed that?
I'm sorry, Ms. Milton, you cut out for a bit, but I believe you were asking if the adjacent parking lot was going to be used as part of the development. Currently, the proposal is simply to have that as a parking lot, but I do understand what you're saying regarding coronavirus, how we are all trying to encourage these small businesses and allow them to continue operating, and that the parking lot might be a good location for outdoor seating in the short term. But I do not believe that we will have a certificate, or I'm hopeful that the certificate of occupancy will be issued with coronavirus being over, and that this will not be an issue for this site in terms of the expanded outdoor seating area that's being permitted by the City of Savannah.
Very good, thank you.
Any further Karen questions of Mr. Young?
Karen Jarrett. I have a couple of questions. One is, has Old City weighed in on this at all with you?
I'm sorry, Chair, you may have to repeat the question again.
Has Old City Mission weighed in on this project or this proposal, special exception?
I have not been in direct contact with Old City Mission. I've only been in contact with the Thomas Square Neighborhood Association board. And it does appear that many members of the board are in support of this application.
My other question is kind of a concern. pedestrian activity has really increased in this area, and with the recent approvals of the church across the street that's supposed to be a special venue, and this pedestrian activity is going to be significantly increased. Is there any does your client plan any efforts to provide crosswalks mid-block between 37th and Victory?
I'm not sure about mid-block. I am happy to personally reach out to traffic and engineering and parking mobility with the city of Savannah, because I do agree that pedestrian traffic crossing Bull Street in this location is particularly difficult. And I do think it would be a benefit for the project if these pedestrian walkways and crossovers could be provided up and down Bull Street. I'm not sure if those conversations have occurred yet as part of the site development process and the COA, but I'm happy to redouble those efforts and reach out again.
All right, thank you.
Any further questions of Ms. Yellen? Do we have any member of the public present that wishes to speak? Any members of the public? Thank you. Any discussion? No further discussion. The chair will entertain a motion.
Motion to approve. This is Ms. Milton.
Second, Coles.
Been properly moved by Ms. Milton and second by Mr. Coles. Any discussion?
Is that motion to approve staff recommendation?
That is correct.
And does that include the conditions?
That is correct. Any discussion? Any unreadiness? I'm ready to take a vote. Mr. Coles, how do you vote?
In favor.
Mr. Watwoody?
Yes.
Ms. Southers?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Ms. Jarrett?
Yes.
Ms. Parker?
Yes.
Ms. Milton?
Yes.
Mr. Noah?
Yes.
Chair votes in favor. Motion carries. Thank you, Mr. Yellen.
Thank you.
Next item on the agenda. On the agenda is item 9, amended general development plan 703 Louisville Road. Mr. Lotson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This item that's before you is a request for an amended general development plan. Many of you will recall this item. It was a general development plan that was approved in conjunction with a zoning action on 703 Louisville Road in January of 2019. The mayor and aldermen approved the rezoning of the property pursuant to a multifamily residential development and the improvement of the adjacent canal right-of-way. The petitioner is requesting to amend the parking count to include additional off-street parking and the unit count to revise the bedroom mix. And I'll show you that here in just a second in a chart. The intent of the change is to eliminate 3-bedroom units and concentrate on studio 1 and 2-bedroom units. And I thank the petitioners on the line today to talk about why they want to do that. There are no proposed changes to the building in terms of footprint, height, or the conditions adopted by the council or any other development standards associated with this property. The proposed changes I will show you here. When the general development plan was approved, it was approved for 255 total units, which included 51 studios, 76 1-bedrooms, 102 2-bedrooms, and 26 3-bedrooms. The petitioner's intent at this time is to eliminate the 3-bedroom units increase the number of units in studios 1s and 2s. This reconfiguration would get them to 290 units versus the 255 units that were originally approved. In addition to that, other reconfiguration on the site would allow them to increase their provided parking spaces from 357 spaces to 370 spaces. Just as it relates to the existing site, to refresh your memory, the parcel currently has a one-story building, which is the historic Seaboard Freight Station, which was constructed in 1929. That property contains approximately 71,000 square feet of building area. The building is classified as an industrial flex space. And as you'll remember, there was a condition of approval by the mayor and alderman of the rezoning that required the developer to maintain the head house of that building and incorporate it into the proposed development. And that condition remains part of the zoning approval. So any action related to this amendment request will not impact any of the previous approvals made by the mayor and aldermen. The proposed changes to the unit mix and overall number of units does not create a material change in staff's opinion to the previously approved plan. And because no external changes to the mass, scale, or height of the building are proposed, we're recommending approval of the petitioner's request. And I'm happy to answer any questions.
Questions of Mr. Lawson? There being none, is the petitioner present?
Yes, this is Robert DeMora. I'm a principal in the partnership that owns the property.
Any questions of Mr. DeMora?
Karen Jarrett here.
Ms. Jarrett, you may proceed.
I have a question about the parking spaces. Are you going to be able to accommodate the 13 additional parking spaces underneath the building?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. I also have a question about the size of the units, and given the COVID crisis that we're in and the fact that people are having to social distance, how big are those studios, and are people going to have a place to escape their studios to get some fresh air while being able to social distance, given the number of units being increased, et cetera, et cetera?
Yes, ma'am. The studios are market rate studios, around 560 square feet. And certainly we have two major outdoor spaces. One of them is an active courtyard with a pool in the larger courtyard in the larger building. And then we have a secondary passive courtyard that's also located on the smaller building. You know, and so we have certainly adequate space, you know, inside the building, both in an active courtyard and a passive courtyard.
All right, thank you.
Any further questions of Mr. DeMora? Thank you, sir. Are there any members of the public present? I don't see being notified of anyone. Thank you. Chair will entertain a motion.
This is Coles. Motion to approve the staff's recommendation.
This has been properly made by Mr. Coles. Any second?
Jarrett, second.
Properly moved and second. Any discussion? Any unreadiness? You're ready to vote. Mr. Coles, how do you vote?
In favor.
Mr. Wywoody?
In favor.
Ms. Southers?
In favor.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Ms. Jarrett?
Yes.
Parker?
Yes.
Milton?
Yes.
Noah?
Yes.
Chair votes in favor. Motion carries. Next item on the agenda is item 10, subdivision 760 Old River Road. Mr. Lotson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This item before you at this time is a request to subdivide property at 760 Old River Road. Because it's a major subdivision, being more than three lots, it comes before the Planning Commission. The petitioner is requesting approval of a final plat for a proposed major subdivision located on the east side of Old River Road. It's approximately 3,700 feet north of John Carter Road within an IL zoning classification. Although this property is in the city of Savannah, having been annexed some number of years ago, it is contiguous with properties within the unincorporated county. The purpose of the proposed subdivision is to divide the 630-acre parcel of land to create a public road right-of-way and three additional parcels to establish a proposed industrial development. The individual parcels to be developed as an industrial building site will be established at a later date in conjunction with future subdivision of the parent parcel.
How come my name ain't on that?
Also, the construction plans for the proposed road and utilities have been approved by the city of Savannah, but the construction plans for each future parcel for development, including drainage plans, will be required to be approved through the normal general development and specific development plan process. The proposed subdivision will consist of, as I mentioned, the public road right-of-way, two lift station sites, one storage tank site, which is a raised water tank, and the remainder of the parent parcel. The road right-of-way will be approximately 16 and a half acres and will have a width of 120 feet. Lift station A will be 0.9 acres in size, and lift station B will be 0.58 acres in size. The storage tank parcel will be 0.98 acres in size, and the remaining remnant will be the majority of the property, which is 613 acres, pardon me. Based on these findings, the proposed major subdivision and final plat, if approved, would be in conjunction with the subdivision regulation requirements. Based on those findings, staff is recommending approval, and there are some conditions that will have to be addressed on the final plat, and I'll briefly go through those. They include the signature of a Georgia Registered Land Surveyor on the final plat, approval of a lighting plan by MPC staff. The four parcels will need to be properly addressed, which we'll manage internally through staff. And we ask the petitioner to revise the final plat to show the required buffer along the appropriate portions of the perimeter of the subject site. And of course, approval by Chatham County. And with that, I believe there's some additional conditions that if the board moves to approve this today, can be added to those conditions that are outlined already in the staff report.
Thank you, Mr. Lotson. Any questions of Mr. Lotson? There being no questions, is a petitioner present? If so, please state your name for the record. Lotson?
Yes, sir.
Do we have a petition present or not?
We're scrolling through the attendees and don't find the petitioner present on the
line. The petitioner is not present. The record will reflect that. Members of the public who wish to speak?
We do have a hand raised.
There's one hand. If you would, please state your name for the record.
This is Jason Chambliss. Can y'all hear me?
Yes, sir.
I'm with Thomas and Hutton. I'm the engineer on the project. We didn't prepare the survey, but I'm here on behalf of SEED as well. They're our client on the project, so I'm here to answer questions if needed. Sorry, I didn't know how to log in to speak earlier.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Chandler. Any questions?
I have questions.
Okay. Hey, Ms. Garrett.
Karen Jarrett. I am concerned about the traffic. I see that the road that is being used in this industrial complex is 120 foot right of way, but it's going into Old River Road, which it looks to be a two lane road. How are you going to accommodate the traffic?
Well, there was a traffic study completed some time ago. We can provide there are plans for improvement on Old River Road. It's something, the intersection is under improvement right now. That'll obviously be something that'll be will be addressed along the way. Now, to be clear, the CETA project that this is related to is just the back half of the road. There was another project that was platted earlier that addressed the connection to Old River Road. So to be honest with you, our purview on this project was only on the back part. So any studies or design related to the front part would have been by another engineer or another group.
Okay. Another concern that I have is that if each individual parcel comes in one by one and we do a drainage study for each individual parcel, there may not be work together cohesively. How are you going to assure that the drainage is going to work cohesively and not affect the residents in the area or not create problems anywhere?
So there are actually more than two projects, but there are two projects going on concurrently or work going on. They're getting close to being wrapped up now. There's the road project that's within the right of way, and then there was a grading project which was the parcels around were rough graded. Ponds have been constructed. As a part of that project, a drainage study was done for the entire parcel and included tying the adjacent parcels to address that. And that study considered the post development flow from the site should not exceed the pre development flow from the site. It's all been planned comprehensively for all the parcels of the road. It all works together.
Okay, so there is a master drainage plan.
Correct. And if you were to go out there today, you'd see that there are giant ponds all over the place that are detaining the water for the site now. And it's all been designed together.
Okay. And there is a master traffic study.
Yeah, I believe the traffic study was done as a part of the Wolverton set of plans, which is that front piece. So I don't have a copy of it, but I'm almost positive that was done as a part of that project.
All right, thank you.
Any further questions? I see there's a hand in shoes. I'm sorry. Any further questions?
I don't have a question. Just whenever you call for a question, I have a motion with three conditions.
Okay. I see I have another hand, Cheryl Sanderlin. Ma'am, if you would please state your name for the record. Is it possible to see if Ms. Sanderlin is having some technical problems? Looking out for... Proceed, Ms. Sanderlin.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Thank you first, Ms. Jarrett, for looking out for the residents. It's the only person that we have had any inkling that has looked out for our part of it. I actually live adjacent to the back portion of the project. And when you address the drainage issues, we have been working for months and months on drainage issues on our property and the surrounding properties. The plan is not working as cohesively as they're mentioning on this call. We're having flooding, we're having septic tank issues. I have placed a call earlier this morning to Mr. Smith, which he was on this meeting, so it was unable to get back with me. But we would like definitely some of that addressed. It hasn't been considered. We weren't even aware this project was underway until probably last October when the land was cleared. And one of the potential warehouses is 300 feet from my house.
Ms. Sandlin, what type of septic tank issues have you been having?
I have a two-story house. Mine is slowed down, but I haven't had backup. But the house next door, which belongs to my 83-year-old father, we've had to put pump systems in it to keep it where it would even work.
Water's running constantly back
into it. Water's running constantly back into it. And we have lived there 30 years and never had a drainage issue.
How long have you had this drainage issue?
6 months, maybe 7 months. Maybe a slightly longer. It's been within the year, within a year.
All right.
When the land was cleared next door to me, it just, we had the swamp that's there backed up onto the back of our property. We've had water that would go down in a day and a half, stay for weeks. So we are having issues, and we've tried to address it with CETA. We've addressed it with Thomas and Hutton, a little bit of a response, and then we're just kind of dropped.
Thank you.
Any further questions of Ms. Sandlin?
This is Jason with Thomas. If I could speak. Or do I need to do it later?
I'm gonna hold you out. I'll come back to you in a second.
Sure, no problem.
Jesse Dillon of CETA, if you would, sir. Please state your name for the record.
Hi, this is Jesse Dillon of CETA. I'm on the call, and we have been in conversation with.
I'm hearing a lot of background noise, and I can't hear you clearly. Let's try that again, Ms. Dillon.
This is Jesse Dillon. Can you hear me now?
Yes, I can.
Okay. As far as the drainage and the master plan, I would prefer that Jason Chambliss, who represents the civil engineering on this project, who's on the call, speak to that and any issues that we've been addressing with the Sandlins.
Okay. Mr. Chambliss.
Yes. So we are aware of the of Ms. Sandlin's issue she's noted. There has been a higher than average amount of rain over that period she's described. But we are in the we've been in the process of making sure that the construction operation is following the plans, and there was a temporary road that was constructed that's been removed that might have been blocking the water at one point. That's been since removed, and we're double checking the drainage and the construction as we speak, actually to a final study to confirm that the system operates as it should. We will we'll follow up Ms. Sandlin to discuss any other concerns she has following this meeting. That's not a problem.
Chairman.
Yes, Mr. Noel.
I have a question for, I believe it's Ms. Dillon with CETA.
You may proceed. Ms. Dillon, are you present still?
Yes, sir, I am.
Are you committing CETA to make sure that these residents that surround this property will be taken care of and not in, have any increased flooding due to this project?
I'm sorry. We have been working with the residents and will continue to do so and make sure that the drainage is designed operating as designed.
Thank you.
Has anyone done a review of the drainage design, and is there any floodplain in the area?
Jason, I'd like Jason Chambliss of TNH to speak to that issue.
The drainage analysis was reviewed by the city during the site plan review process. This site is not located within the current mapped floodplain.
Are the residents located in a floodplain?
I'd have to look at the specific properties, but I don't think so. I'd have to look. I'm not sure.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes, Mr. Smith.
First of all, I appreciate Ms. Sandlin coming. It speaks to the very point that the county has, and that there has not been any study outside of the annexed area of Savannah for discharge of stormwater. There may have been one, and I've just literally connected with my engineering department. If there's a master plan for transportation that has not been accepted nor reviewed by the county, nor the drainage because it's not been asked. So that's part of what conditions, you know, the county is demanding for the very thing Ms. Sandlin is speaking to make sure we don't have those kinds of issues. You know, we want to prevent anything negative.
Thank you, Mr. Smith. Anything further of anyone? The chair will entertain a motion.
Yes, sir, Mr. Chairman. If you don't mind, it's a little long. I would move Lee Smith to approve as submitted with these conditions. And I'd like to read them, and I'd be glad to send them over to the clerk in writing as soon as the meeting's over. The condition, the first, the county would ask as part of the MPC approval process that the project and any subsequent pad developers of sites be required to obtain approval of MPC, the City of Savannah, and Chatham County Engineering concerning stormwater runoff or discharge. Second, as part of the approval process, these item would be, our requirements should be in the minutes of MPC, a notation of the county's approval made on the plat subdivision master plan. Also, and let me go back, the county is also asking for, in virtue of road in the unincorporated area, the county would ask as part of the MPC process approval that the project developer and subsequent pad owner developers be required to obtain permission from Chatham County Engineering pertaining to issues that may affect road or other transportation in unincorporated area, and that all of these items as approved be noted on the master subdivision master plan affecting transportation of roads and stormwater in unincorporated Chatham County.
Second that, Coles.
Properly moved and seconded by Mr. Coles. Any discussion?
Can I get a little clarification? What you're looking for, Mr. Smith, is to have everything pass through the county as well as the city. Is that correct? Or to have, yes, the drainage and transportation pass through the county as well as the city?
We would like it to connect because we do understand they have master plans for drainage and for transportation on site. So I feel that MPC, the staff, as we've noted, MPC, the City of Savannah, and the county all have, you know, the ability to approve or disapprove or ask for other conditions for approval.
Any further follow-up question and discussion, Ms. Garrett?
I hate to continue this on, but I'm just trying to make sure you're looking for a master plan that doesn't address just the site, but addresses the area, correct?
That's correct.
Okay, thank you.
Any further discussion? Any unreadiness? Here we'll take a vote. Mr. Coles, how do you vote?
In favor.
Wow, Woody, how do you vote?
In favor.
Ms. Southers?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Ms. Garrett?
Yes.
Parker?
Yes.
Milton?
Yes.
Noah?
Yes.
Mr. Welch?
Yes.
Chair votes yes. Motion carries. There being no presentations, I will briefly talk very quickly. I have asked Karen Jarrett, Travis Coles, and Eula Parker to consist of our nominating commission, our nominating committee. As you know, we will be taking nominations for officers, and we will have a vote on that in September. So if you're interested in becoming an officer, now is the time for you to let those persons know. I'm sure that Ms. Jarrett will be sending out notices to everyone who's interested, to the entire commission, actually, who's interested in serving. I would strongly suggest you let her know of your interests. There being nothing else, Chair will entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved by Coles.
Properly moved by Coles and second by Ms. Milton. We stand in adjournment. Thank you so much for your service today.
Thank you.